Hi, listeners. Welcome to the podcast episode 112. With me, Mel Foster, and I am also joined by Mr. Daniel Seraph.
Hi.
And if she can pull herself away from all things wintry Olympic-y for the rest of the show, Miss Gwen Reyes.
Hello. I should learn how to say hello in Norwegian. That would be my new thing. But
I'm not that smart. You should be learning some Norwegian, I think.
I think it's I. I think it's hi. I think that's how you say it.
Hi. That's quite cute, actually, I must admit.
I know. Because Norwegians are adorable.
Okay. Oh, they say it twice. How cute is that?
Oh, just in case. It's so polite. Just in case
you just didn't, in case you didn't hear it the first time. Yeah. Oh. Let's just say it again, just so you know. Like, hi.
It's been a while, guys.
It has.
It has been a tear. That's
true. What's going on with us?
Olympics.
Is that your excuse? Have you just been holed up in somewhere?
I've been
in the middle of nowhere watching Olympics.
Yeah, just watching the Olympics and or watching TV shows and or watching Tom Hiddleston on the West End. So there you go. That's doing a little bit of all those things.
Okay, well, you know, it's all right. Made any room for watching the Pussy Riot protests?
No. I don't care about you. I don't care about humanity and human rights and all that shit.
What? No. These ladies are being whipped with whips.
And unless it's an imaginary version of it in a movie or TV show, don't care.
But they're real people with real, you know, colorful ski masks.
But are they scraping ice?
And they spend time.
Are they what?
And they spent time in prison.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get into this because this could. I don't want to take this show to a political edge.
I was going to say, and I'm just joking. I do like good. Humans.
That's good, because I'm all for the Pussy Riot.
I'm sure you are, Mal.
What they stand for. Generally, I do love those girls. I think they're awesome. But anywho, how are you, Dan?
What have you been up to, good. Dan?
Yeah, what have you been doing?
Nothing.
Tell us.
I wish I had an excuse, but I don't. I've just been doing nothing.
So you've had no Tom Hiddleston in the West End?
Not particularly. No, I've just been sat in the corner waiting for the podcast to start again.
Have you just been
just rocking myself to sleep every night?
So you've just been where we left you.
Huh?
You've been where we left you last time. You've not moved.
Yeah, basically. Just as soon as like it ended last time, I've just been waiting here for it to start again.
Oh.
Just no eating or drinking or anything like that.
How are you
just,
still alive just then?
Just fueled by the hope of another podcast, I guess.
See, now that's more optimism than the Irish curling team right there. That's what I like to see. But yeah, we're not here to talk about Olympics or even political demonstrations. We're here to talk about all things film and TV and music and pop culture. So let's get into it. Let's jump into our first thing, which we normally do, which is the melting pot. So Dan, what have you... I take it you've actually been watching something whilst sat in the corner or just watching the shadows fall on the
walls? I did actually
manage
to get out for like 2 hours to go and see the Lego movie.
Oh, nice. How was it?
It was really, really good. I was super cynical about the Lego movie. I think, like, I mean, I actually mentioned it on the podcast where it's just like, oh, it just looks like a glorified toy commercial.
Yeah,
I guess it
kind of just looked like a big advert for Lego, essentially.
Of course it is. But I was actually pleasantly surprised by how funny and how enjoyable and how imaginative it actually is. First things first, it's directed by Chris Lord and Phil Miller, who were the team behind Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and they directed 21 Jump Street a few years ago. And so these are really kind of funny, creative guys. And they're kind of the perfect team, really, to kind of spearhead the Lego movie. And they've turned it into this really funny and really creative kind of stop motion-esque animation. I think it's like done in a stop motion style, but it's not really stop motion. Mm-hmm. Basically kind of telling the story of this one kind of ordinary kind of everyman Lego construction worker who sort of finds himself on this adventure trying to stop Lord Business, who is voiced by Will Ferrell, and Chris Pratt does the voice of Emmett, the main character. And there's a couple of other great additions to the voice cast as well, from like Alison Brie and Nick Offerman's in there, and Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum are in there from 21 Jump Street. But it's just a really, really fun film and really totally like exceeded my expectations. So I totally recommend it, actually, if you've been put off like I have, just thinking that it's, you know, nothing more than just this kind of, you know, marketing attempt to make Lego popular again for the kids. It actually has got some like really good jokes in there, and the story is fun, and there are a couple of really kind of genuinely very inventive things that it does in there as well. So yeah, it's a load of fun. It's like the first great kind of blockbuster of the year so far.
Yeah, it does look a bit blockbustery, which I thought was a bit strange to be putting it out at this time of year. I kind of thought maybe this film would have fared better in summer, but apparently I'm wrong, because a lot of people have gone to see it, and a lot of people seem to like it as well.
Yeah, a lot of people went to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has been super popular, so I mean, I guess it doesn't matter that, but I guess it's kind of scary to think how well it would have done in, like, the middle of the summer. But yeah, it's been very popular, and I'm glad it has, because it is, like, it is definitely a cut above, like, the other kind of tie-in toy commercially films that have come out over the last couple of years. I mean, God knows it's much better than Battleship, so.
Hey, I'll always have a soft spot for Battleship somewhere in my heart.
Really? Really?
No, maybe not. I'm actually quite pleased to see it doing well at the Lego Movie, because Lego was a big part of my childhood, and it wasn't that long ago when Lego was kind of on its last legs and on the verge of going bankrupt. And then they sort of did all those games, the Lego Star Wars games, and it was like a last throw of the dice, and it managed to pull them back in, and now they seem to be doing pretty good. So it's nice. I think it's nice. In a world of sort of digital occupants, it's nice to see, even though it's on the big screen, that Lego still has a place in this world, because Lego is cool.
It's cool as well, because it's obviously a kid's film. It's, you know, it's animated, it's it's colourful, there's loads of slapstick humour, but it's also, you know, it is, they do keep in mind the fact that there are people like you and I who did grow up playing Lego who are now adults. And so there is also that kind of like a witty sense of humour as well. And there's a sort of kind of like, I guess kind of sort of father-son relationship there as well, which... I won't spoil too much because it's one of the film's kind of surprises. But yeah, it makes it, you know, it kind of transcends like the child audience. I think people who grew up with Lego will enjoy it as well.
Cool. Anything else that you've seen?
No, that was basically it.
All right. Well, okay, back in your corner then until next time. Gwen, what have you managed to see?
Poor Danny's just like getting a little tent and just hiding.
I've served my purpose for the week, and now I'm off.
So sad. What a sad life.
Back in the shadows, Dan. Out of sight.
Back in the shadows. Aw. Let's see. I too saw the Lego Movie, and I loved it. And I still have Everything Is Awesome stuck in my head, and I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon.
Is that the main theme from it or something? I've seen that attached.
Yeah,
it's
there it is. Yeah, it's the main song, which it's sad that it should have been released in the fall, and it would have been a contender for best song, I think.
Who sings it?
But, you know.
Tegan and Sarah. And,
The Lonely Planet. The Lonely Island. Not The Lonely Planet. Yeah. The Lonely Island. So Andy Samberg's.
He's only in it for about 30 seconds.
Oh, now. that's 30 seconds
Stop
too much.
Stop being so negative. Everything is awesome.
I don't even think it's Andy Samberg singing. It might be Akiva or Yorma. They just wrote the song.
Yeah, that sounds like Exotic Fruit to me, so, okay. I don't know who they are, but...
They're the other two guys.
Group. They're the other two. The ones that aren't Andy Samberg. That's all right, then.
And, yeah, I've been watching a lot of TV shows, so I finally caught up on the current seasons, or the first two seasons in the current season of Once Upon a Time, which has been the only thing I have eyes for right now. It's hard for me to live in a world now where I don't have instant episodes. It's very
sad. This is the fairy tale, real-life crossover thingy-majiggy, right?
Yes, and so each season kind of follows a different thing. Like, the first season's all about these enchanted people from a different mystical world that have been sent to our current world, and they're living under a curse, and this character comes in and she breaks the curse for them. And then in the second season, they have been uncursed, and now they have to kind of live with their memories of their past lives and their current lives to kind of like throw in at the same time. And then this last season, we spent the entire first half of the season stuck in Neverland, trying on the hot pursuit for Peter Pan, who is evil, evil, evil.
What?
Which I think all of us... Yeah, Peter Pan is super evil.
Why?
He stole the son of the main character, spirited him away to Neverland, and so the rest of them went on a hunt to find him.
So he's a child kidnapper?
He is a child napper, yes.
Dad, wow, okay, well, you know, kudos for doing something different with Peter Pan. There's smooching.
Okay. Yeah, there's smooching on the show, and then there's like love triangles, and Rumpelstiltskin's in it, and the evil characters are super evil, but they're also very colorful because you're like, oh, but sometimes they could be good. Rumpelstiltskin's in love with Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
This sounds a little bit crazy.
It's awesome. It's ridiculous, but it's so good.
Yeah. Okay.
It's hard for me. I am obsessed with the show. Let's see what else. I've also been catching up on Doctor Who, which I talked about last time. That's an ongoing Lifetime process. I made it through season 3, which almost did me, and I almost quit, but I stomached through it.
Okay.
Because it was boring. And then I had a chance to see it played in your neck of the woods last month and the month before that, but Tom Hiddleston's performance of Coraline simulcast in theaters. And so I saw that on Sunday. I spent 5 hours in a movie theater watching an old Shakespearean play that no one ever thinks about.
Except,
but Tom Hiddleston took his shirt off, so I was fine with it.
Is that the core reason you went?
I mean, I went for culture.
Culture and disrobed Hiddleston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he smiles a lot in it, and then he cries a lot. He's very good at the single tear.
Just the one.
Yeah, but it's funny that it's not a very popular play because it's so simple, but it definitely is timeless because it's very, very simple. It follows this, it's part of Shakespeare's Roman play. So it's the third one in the series. We had Julius Caesar, Mark Antony and Cleopatra, and then Coriolanus. And this one follows a soldier who comes back from war and is forced to run for council of Rome. And he's not necessarily, he's a great soldier, but he's definitely not a good, he's not a people person, and he's absolutely the worst choice for a politician. And so he's kicked out of Rome, and he joins forces with Rome's major enemy. And it's very simple, but very good and very dramatic. It's also got some funny parts in it because it's Shakespeare, but I really enjoyed it. Good cast.
Oh, excellent. There we go. We actually have it took us 112 episodes, but we've got a bit of culture going into the show.
And it's playing in theaters around the country. Like, it did Dallas this week, but it'll be back in Fort Worth in a few weeks, and it's in LA again. So it's kind of just popping up in movie theaters.
Who'd have thought
you'd hear it? It's part of the National Theater Live, Yes, National Theater Live.
Who'd have thought you'd hear the term Shakespeare Does Dallas? It's never occurred to me, but hey, good for him. So is that it? Is that everything you've seen, pretty much?
That's pretty much everything I've seen. I didn't see any movies last week. I was working. I saw Monuments Men.
I forgot
about that. I liked it. I did. It's pretty good. It's very much in the same vein as The Butler and 12 Years a Slave, where it's just kind of like simple history kind of consolidated down, and it'll hopefully inspire you to go and look up what these people did. So it was essentially with Monuments Men, it's about a group of art historians and professors that are drafted by the U.S. Army during World War II to go in London and help. After London was bombed, this organization was made to go in and save the art that the Nazis had stolen, or save it before it was destroyed. And so they go in, and it stars George Clooney and Matt Damon and John Goodman. And it's got a very good ensemble, and Bill Murray's in it, and he's very touching. It's definitely more like Lost in Translation or Broken Flowers sort of Bill Murray. So it's a very good movie. I enjoyed it. It's very polarizing. A lot of people I know did not enjoy it because they thought that there wasn't enough character development, but I didn't have that problem at all. I enjoyed the whole experience. And now I'm reading the book that it's based off of.
Well, that's always a good sign. Mm-hmm. If a film can spurn you on to read the book. Things I've seen, not an awful lot, to be honest. I caught up with Nebraska, finally. I thought it was all right. It's okay.
Oh. I like that movie.
It's all right. Bruce Dern's great in it. The writing, for the most part's good. There's a lot of good side characters that I liked. I just kind of felt it was a little bit too long and a little bit too slow.
I sort of see that. It's my favorite Alexander Payne movie for a few years, though. So,
I don't know if I would commit to that myself, but no, it was all right. It's perfectly good. Perfectly watchable. Just not very exciting, or dense, as it were. I also saw RoboCop, the remake, which I was expecting to be terrible, and it's not. It's not good, but it's not bad either. It's kind of like, you did all right, yeah, fair enough, okay. That was, it was decent, you didn't mess it up too bad, and there's some bits which are a bit hokey in it, but it was all right. Other than that, I don't know what else to say. It's could have been shit. It wasn't.
Wow, what a glowing
endorsement. I know. Which, strangely enough, got rejected from the promotional posters. I don't understand why. You know, it could have been shit. It wasn't. It's short and sweet, and tells everybody what they need to know. But that's pretty much all I've seen. It's been, I don't know, pretty quiet in terms of things coming out and things that I've seen. And what have you, so yeah. A pretty low-key melting pot for you this week, listeners. But do let us know what you have seen. Perhaps you have been catching up with some of the award fodder films and whatnot, and things that you perhaps missed out on last year, as is the case at this time of the calendar. Do let us know. Get in touch at twitter.com/ Invasion Radio or screeninvasion.com, and just look for this episode 112 and leave your correspondence right there so you can have a look at it and perhaps even read it out next episode. A lot has happened since we did our last episode, which I think was the last week of January. We have obviously had some award winners. BAFTAs was last week. We've had Golden Globes, I think, in between. We've had Shia LaBeouf doing I don't fucking know what with his his paper bag and the whole art exhibit. You guys heard about this, right?
I've heard about the paper
bag. Oh, Shia LaBeouf,
I haven't heard about the art exhibit.
You haven't? Oh, okay. He set up, he rented some studio space in which he made like an art installation where he put sort of little talisman of things to do with him, like there was a Transformer toy, a bullwhip from Indiana Jones, and he was sat in one room with the same paper bag on his head, and people that went to the exhibit could pick up one of the items and bring it and sit to the table, but he didn't say anything, he just sat there. So that was going on with him. Yeah, I know. Weird. And of course, I think the biggest thing that happened in the time that we last recorded was, unfortunately, Philip Seymour Hoffman died as well. Which I think, am I right in saying that happened after our last episode? We haven't talked about this yet, have we?
No, we haven't.
I think so. No.
No, we have. So we haven't discussed it yet.
I'm still not over that. It's just, it's hard to think of a world without Philip Seymour Hoffman.
It is. And I just kind of thought, well, for a talking point this week, we could maybe talk about favourite performances of the man's.
Where do you start?
Well, yeah, I know it is hard to start, but any that spring to mind in particular.
My favourite. I still love him.
Yeah, go ahead.
My favourite would probably be either, if I had to choose, which is so hard, I'd be torn between The Master and Synecdoche, New York, which were both just absolutely incredible. But like I said, I mean, like, you can basically look through every single performance in his on his resume and be like, that's incredible, everything. Even when he was in, like, bad films, you know, he'd always give a good performance. I watched Along Came Polly for the first time the other day. Just because, you know, it was Philip Seymour Hoffman, one of the few ones I hadn't seen. And I mean, it's not a good film by any means, but every time he's on screen, it's just like, whoa. Which I guess is a testament to how good he was as an actor. So, yeah, it's a shame that we won't see anything else from him.
What about you, Gwenny Gwen? Any particular favourites?
I still love him as Lester Bangs from Almost Famous. I think that was one of the first times I remember remember seeing the act, like that or Talented Mr. Ripley. Like, I saw those movies about the same time. Mm-hmm. And he was just so, he was so great as, like, that sort of meddling, intriguing sort of character in The Talented Mr. Ripley. And then his death scene was just delightful. And then also Lester Bangs from Almost Famous. I think it's such an iconic character. You may not, like, I was trying to think about that as his major lines from that film, and I can't, but I just remember the pep talk that he gave to Patrick Fugit's character. And it's just one of those things that I think is just an amazing contribution to cinema. And then he was also really great in Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
And Big Lebowski, just as like it's weird to, I was just watching The Big Lebowski recently, like before he died. And it's always shocking when you see like skinny Philip Seymour Hoffman. And he was in that film, and hard world to think about not having him in it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, he's one of my favorite actors. I guess I said that a lot, but he really was. It's just like one of those things where, you know, like Philip Seymour Hoffman's in a film, I'm definitely going to go and see it just because it was, this great performance from him.
He was definitely a draw to anything that he would have appeared in. Yeah, sad. But
yeah, it's incredibly sad.
His performances will always be there and will always be a testament of just how good he was. For me, I know it's somewhat trite and cliched considering he won the award for it, but I will always love his performance as Capote. And in Magnolia as well, I thought, which is in a film which is just jam-packed with stellar performances, to actually kind of stand out in amongst all of that is hard enough, but to leave a memorable impression as well. Yeah, a real testament to just how good at that, you know, his craft that gentleman was. So there you go. I just thought I'd throw that in, just because I didn't think we'd covered it, and I just thought it'd be nice to jump in. But of course, if you want to let us know what some of your favourite performances are from the man himself, do let us know at twitter.com/invasionradio. Do that over there. Because I haven't got my show notes up again for some reason.
We'll probably do the elevator pitch now.
That's
right?
What I was thinking. That's where I was going, but I wasn't. And it was. Don't you laugh like I was just winging it, woman. I had that in my head.
I support you at all times. I'm just looking at Philip Seymour Hoffman's backlist on IMDb, and I'm like, oh man, I saw so many movies of his to see still.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing, is because he was always working. You've got so many things that I have not seen. So there's just still so much more to uncover and discover. And, you know, there's so much more for people who are unfamiliar with his work to find out when they get to the age to do so. It's a beautiful thing about this medium, is it preserves performances forever. Elevator pitch. Do we all have something this week?
Nope.
Excellent.
I will if you give me a minute.
Okay.
I've got something. I've got something, sort of.
Okay, I'll ask Gwen, do you have anything for Elevator Pitch this week? Curling team or I've Tom Hiddleston GIFs.
I've always got something. I've always got something and something strange. I could do a strange one today.
You do. To be fair, I've called you on you not having stuff before, but when it comes to it, when it comes to crunch time, you always have something just hidden away in a secret pocket for a case of emergency.
I'm currently playing with the ones that I'm going to recommend, so I'm excited.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I can go first if you guys want to kind of consolidate what it is you're going to pick, because I have one.
Let me get
a timer. Let me get a timer ready for you.
I was going to say, I need my 30 seconds, and I need a ding.
I have technology.
I was going to say, in this world of technology, we should be utilising it when we can.
I'm sure there's not a word that has a ding on it.
The Ding app, just called Ding.
Ding.
That might get people confused with Bing, of a search engine that's available. No one
Ding.
Hey, I'm sure there's 3 or 4 people that do.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you feeling confident, excited,
yes,
prepared?
Yes and no, but let's do it anyway.
Okay, it's not going to sound like a real ding, but it's gonna make a sound.
All right. Is it? Oh, I like that better, actually. That's awesome. I should stop getting caught up in that sound. My pick for Elevator Pitch this week is a self-titled debut album from a band called Crosses. Crosses is the unit of Chino Marino, singer and frontman for Deftones, and Sean Lopez and Chuck Doom. They make wonderfully crafted atmospheric and electronic rock, which is all kinds of intense and brutal and delicate and tender and uplifting, and there's so many wonderful dynamics to it. I like that noise. What is that
what
noise?
What is that? That sounds really relaxing, but I don't know if it's just...
It's a ringtone on my phone.
It feels like I've walked into like some sort of Zen garden, and I should be doing some sort of deep meditation with a group of Buddhists. It's nice.
Very true. It's very nice. No, I was like, I think I might keep that as my new ringtone.
Oh, it's really quite nice, then. It's lovely.
Okay, I gotta stop. I gotta stop. I'm stopping.
I was gonna say that's a little bit harsh.
I don't know what tone I had before that, so I've lost it. But whatever. What you gonna do?
These things happen.
So there you go. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's good. So if you're looking for some new music, Crosses. Awesome. Who wants to go next between you two? You can fight out if you want.
I can go next. That way.
Oh, look at her establishing her dominance in the elevator pitch. She thinks she's all that because she's got a nice ringtone.
That's right.
Well, come on then, lady. What have you got for us?
Is it my turn?
It is your turn. I'm gonna do the ding. Hold on. All right. Hold on. I'll ding when I'm ready. Thank you very much.
I thought you were just like, go ahead.
I know. I was like, right now. Okay. I'll keep track of my own.
No, not right then, but right now.
Okay, so my newest obsession, which is kind of ridiculous, but I am a nerd in this way, and I've started a collection of Funko vinyl pops, which come in your favorite TV and movie characters. My first collection started with Game of Thrones, and I recently secured myself a Jax Teller little Funko Pop guy who sits on my desk and makes sure that I'm doing all of my homework and all of my work properly. And he has his little knife. And so all I need to complete my set with my Arya and my Jackson would be a
finish that thought.
Oh, you can't leave us in the suspense.
I was going to say, you've got to finish that thought.
I want a Walt White one.
Oh, what are they? Funko vinyl pop? What? What are these?
It's a Funko vinyl pop. And they're these little dolls that have big heads and big eyes and but they are your favorite characters from different TV shows.
Now, as listeners of old might know, there is a fine line about to be addressed here. Are they toys or are they collectibles?
They're collectibles.
Good. Well done.
They're not. I don't keep them in the box, though. I don't.
Oh, you heathen. Get off.
Yeah. They go on trips with me. I take them on trips and stuff. I also have a Cinderella one, but I don't count her.
Okay. I might have to look into these because these sound quite cute and fun. I might have to buy duplicate, obviously, to keep one in the box and one to take with me. Gotta keep them in the box. At least one in the box. Tell me one. One's in the box.
My Arya is little. She's a little one because she's a small person.
Oh, but I bet she's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yay. Well, I'm going to look into them. I think they sound rather adorable. All right, Mr. Seraph, do you have yours ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
You do? Oh, be you, old blase. Yeah, whatever. What else? I've got this.
Oh, cool. Go ahead. Whenever you're ready. Just ding me in, man.
Whatever. Okay.
Okay, my elevator pitch is going to be for a show that was on Channel 4. I think it was about 2 weeks ago it premiered. It's going to come back as a season later in the year. It's Babylon, which was directed by Danny Boyle and created by some of the guys who made The Thick of It and had something to do with Black Mirror. A really entertaining and really funny show about the Metropolitan Police needing a bit of a revamp of their public image and hiring an American PR expert to come in and change things around for them. It's really entertaining. It's a really good pilot.
Is this the thing
you forgot to mention that Britt Marling's going to be in it?
I was going to say this is the thing with Britt Marling in, right?
Yeah. Britt Marling plays the kind of PR guru who's come to London to work with the Metropolitan Police. And there's a couple of kind of familiar faces in there, a lot of unknowns as well. Yeah, it was a kind of feature-length pilot that's going to come back later in the year as a series. And yeah, if it's as good as a pilot, then it's going to be worth watching when it shows. I guess it's going to be late summer, early kind of fall.
I have to say, I found it quite strange to see Britt Marling in something like that, especially by the creators that it's made by. It seems an unusual combination.
Yeah, she holds her own, though. She's really good in it.
Okay. Well, on that, I may just have to give that a watch. Yeah, and that's called what, Babylon?
It's called Babylon.
Yes. Nice. So we've got Babylon.
Babylon. Babylon.
Oh, no, that's what I want as a ringtone. Just that right there. We've got Babylon. Funky pop. What are they? Funky pop vinyls.
Funko. F-U-N-K-O. Funko.
Okay. I like the name as well. That's cute as well. And crosses.
They're so cute.
So there you go.
They're on my Twitter and Aria and Jax on their many adventures in my office.
Oh, okay. I have not seen them. I will have to check that out and see what they look like. But they sound.
I'm a 30-year-old. I'm a grown-ass woman who collects dolls.
Hey, they're collectibles, and it's totally cool. I'm looking at my Wally, and he's in his box. Hi, Wally. I know why I'm expecting him to talk back to me, but
I have a Superman duck, which is about as close as I've got to any of these kind of cool collectibles.
I feel bad because I've got one that's out the box, and that's a Cloud Strife action figure from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
I keep him out of the box.
I think I'm just like out nerded everybody within like a 27-mile radius with that right there. Score. So there you go. That's Elevator Pitch for this week. If you check any of the stuff that we've recommended out this week, let us know. Even take pictures with it. That would be nice. or if you've got stuff that you want to recommend, then do so. Go to screeninvasion.com, look for this episode 112, and let us know what you would pitch to us. And again, why not take a picture with it? I don't know why, but that just appears to be the theme that I've decided on. Take pictures with things and show us. Show and tell. Or it didn't happen.
Support it.
Yeah, damn right. So what else do we do?
We do box office or bust, and then we also, before that, we do what are we excited about coming out this week?
That's right.
After we do box office and bust.
That is right, I think. I'm just trusting your judgment on this one. But that sounds about right.
It just feels like it's going by a lot faster because none of us saw any movies last week.
Yeah, so usually we spend a lot more time talking about stuff we've seen.
Our segment that usually lasts a really long time did not last that long.
Yeah,
I can tell you guys about, like, if you want to hear that boring information.
What? Tell us about what?
The weather. I don't know. I'm just trying to make you feel a bit more comfortable.
We're just trying to stretch the podcast out. We've got like a clunky middle act we're trying to get through before it gets to the big finale.
I'm very excited about the exciting, there's going to be an exciting podcast in the next couple of months that our viewers will be very, or our listeners will be very excited to hear about.
Gwen, what are you doing?
What? I'm going off book.
What's this?
Box office or bust.
There's another podcast? What?
How dare you?
Are you advertising your shield cast on this? Is that what you're using this free time to do?
I have to work out the details with the two of you.
That is the sound of people going, that sounds so much better than this shit, and just leaving.
Like, when does this happen? Can we swap buses now? Is it too late to get a refund on this free show?
There's no other podcast. We're not leaving. I don't know what you're talking about. We're playing box office or bust. That's what's happening, right?
Okay, I'm slightly confused and I feel vulnerable like right now.
I feel like I've been stabbed in the back a bit.
I feel like I've just been kicked off the bus in the middle of the desert and I don't know where everyone's going.
Oh,
Cactus, talk to
me. I'm going to put a tweet out now and be like, podcaster for hire, Oz is leaving.
Podcast exploding, emotions.
No,
running everywhere.
Podcast is fine. I'm just saying that one of our upcoming ones, all of us will be in the same country.
Oh. Okay.
Cheating on us with a different podcast. Oh, that's good news.
Yay. Now I'm back on the bus. I don't need you anymore, Cactus.
The bus was never, the bus was only a, it's a private party bus for just the three of us.
Oh, yeah.
And the other people that we invited, which are currently listening.
Awesome. Everyone get on the bus. Stop crying around that Cactus. You don't want nothing to do with you. Leave it alone.
We're so paranoid, Gwen. We don't want to lose you.
You guys really are.
Like, as soon as we heard the word podcast, we were like, no!
And I was like, wait, I don't know what's happening.
Well, I don't think anyone did for at least 5 minutes there, but hey, that has filled out the extended time need.
It's 5 minutes.
Can we claim that? Can we make that claim? Worst 5 minutes of podcast history.
I'm so sorry, everybody.
Is there an award for that? There should be.
I instigated that, so I take full responsibility for how shit that was.
Okay, if you want it, that's fine. It's all on Dan. Stan's fault, everyone. Send Dan tweets and emails.
Yeah,
Shall we play some box office or bust then? Should we do that?
Yes.
That'd be nice. All right. I know what I'm doing with that, vaguely, kind of. So obviously it's a couple of weeks since we last played. So these are the results for, I want to say, 3, even maybe 4 weeks ago. I can't even remember now, but hey, these are how they go. And remember, this is your first round. This is the first go-around on a brand new year. Of course, Dan won last year, but you know, this is a brand new year and what have you, so who knows what's going to happen. The results are... Gwen, you got the only placement position out of all three
of us. Right.
Correct.
That's right, bitches.
Yep. Predicted Ride Along at number one, which was, of course, correct. That was at number one back then a couple of weeks ago, so that's 1 point for Gwen. Gwen also got the closest cash prediction for that awkward moment. She said it would make 11 million and it made 8. So that's another one for her. Dan, you did get the closest cash prediction for Ride Along. You said 11 and it made 12. So that's a point for you. And Gwen, again, getting the closest cash prediction for Lone Survivor, said 7 million and it made 7 million. So that's two points. Given after the first week, first round of brand new box office or bust, Gwen 4 points, Dan 1 point, and me with no points. I'm getting back off the bus. Fuck this shit.
No, the bus is okay. Everyone's on the bus.
Okay.
We're all here now. Bus is fine.
Alright, so yeah, first round, Gwen 4, Dan 1, me 0. But you know, that's just round 1, and of course we've got the big point booster Oscar round to do in a week or two. So when is the Oscars? Is it the second?
It is the second.
The second of something?
The second of March.
Yes, it's the second of March, right?
Okay.
Yep.
So
I'm seeing Grand Budapest Hotel that night, so screw the Oscars. I have my Wes Anderson.
Yeah, I've fun with that.
I will be watching the Oscars because I have no life.
Me too.
Or it is my life.
Yeah, not me too. But yeah, okay, cool. So that's gonna
happen. I'll probably watch an hour of the Oscars and then regret watching the Oscars and then stop watching the Oscars. That's sort of how I've kind of rolled with every award ceremony so far.
Yeah, that seems pretty sensible.
I just feel like this Oscars is so boring. Like, I'm so bored with the selection. I'm just like, all the movies are good. That's my takeaway. All the movies are good. Good for them.
just one minute presentation. These are all the films that we've liked. Good for them. Good night, everybody. Thank you very much.
I think I'd like the Oscars a lot more if it was just a 3 minute show of Gwen coming out. Like, you know what? You guys all did well this year. Just give yourselves a pat on the back and go home and be happy for yourselves. There's no winners tonight. You're all winners.
Everyone's a winner.
Even movies that were just movies. You won because you made a movie. So take that home and celebrate with it. Yeah, good night, everyone. That was this year's Oscars. Thank you. That would probably be a much more rewarding experience, I'll be honest.
It'd be different as well.
Yeah. So. No show tunes in there, no. Which is always good. You know, Oscars should have less razzle dazzle, I think. You know, I the point of because I'm not a very patriotic person, but I gotta say, we did pretty well with the BAFTAs this year. There was no razzle dazzle shit. There was no ooh, look at me dancing, and he's a number with some feather boas, and now he is this and that.
Well,
he had Stephen Fry making jokes.
Well, you say going, that, but then Tiny Temper high-fived the Prince, so that kind of set the bar pretty low for me.
Well, we'll scrub that one from memory. We'll just imagine that he high-fived Prince, actual Prince.
Yeah, I endorse high-fiving Prince. It's the Prince of Wales.
Excellent. I'm a big fan of the grime. Yes, yes, bang, bang. Wicked. yeah, so there you go. Do it like we do, just totally stoic, straight in, straight out. But hey, that's, what am I talking about? Let's get on with box office, I bust, fuck, I'm just waffling. So yeah, those are your points, 4-1-0. What we have coming out, oh, should we have a look at what's actually in the top five? That would probably help, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry.
Like, you take a vacation and all the shit falls apart.
I would be the world's shittest magician.
Well, yes, especially since you don't listen.
Did you say magician?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
No, I said you took a vacation.
Oh, right, okay, because that sounds totally like magician.
Oh, good God.
Oh, God, this has been so bad.
everything has gone crazy. It's all off the rails right now.
This is what happens when you guys leave me for weeks.
Next week, we're going to come back and we're going to be totally prepared. We're going to have, like, really good, loads of really good movies to talk about. We're not going to get confused with what people are saying.
Okay.
We're not going to, like, attack other guests for what they haven't said. It's going to run totally smooth.
Oh, okay. Well, until then, let's carry on this dirt train to the end of the tracks. Number five, you have Endless Love, which I'm guessing is not named after the Lionel Richie and Diana Ross song. Unless I'm wrong on that one, which, you know, obviously...
Well, that song was made for that movie. Not that one, but the first one.
That's true, yeah. I do love that song. Sorry. Getting into unknown territories. Endless Love, number five, 14.4. Monuments Men, number four, with 17.9. RoboCop, number three, with 25 million. Number two, About Last Night, with 27 million. And on top, you have The Lego Movie, with 62.4 million. So, Endless Love, Monuments Men, RoboCop, About Last Night, and The Lego Movie. That is your top five as of last weekend. Things that you've got coming out this week, only two real main sort of wide releases, 3 Days to Kill and Pompeii, both of which I know nothing about. Do you guys know anything about those two films?
Pompeii, well, has that guy from Game of Thrones.
Jon Snow. Or Jon.
Yeah.
Snore, you mean?
Jon Snow.
Jon Snow.
Jon Snow. So boring. Jon Snore.
You know nothing. Jon Snow. Kit Harington, is he called?
Yeah. It's a Paul W.S. Anderson movie, I think.
Oh. Okay.
The bad Paul Anderson.
Yeah, yeah. You need to make that you need to make that distinguishment, because some people might get confused. Not the good one. The one that he did the Resident Evil films, I think.
I don't know, guys. Event Horizon's still a great film.
I can't comment because I've not seen it. So.
Me neither.
So you've got that, Pompeii, which I'm guessing that's about the volcano, some shit. Yeah, the volcano film. Who knows? It's a good thing you don't listen to this show for information, listeners. And you've got 3 Days to Kill, which evidently is what I have.
It's just a romp about guys who had 3 days to just kind of like not do anything and not prepare for their podcast.
All right.
That's what 3 Days to Kill is about.
How very meta. I think that one's going to do pretty well this week, then.
I want to see that. I can relate to that.
It sounds good, doesn't it?
It's got Kevin Costner in it. I mean, he's like killing some time.
Just rolling tobacco, just trying to scrape some chewing gum off his shoe.
He's just kind of like generically fucking around, just, you know, whatever.
He's like picking his toenails and just staring out into space. Good for him.
Finally getting into that Feng Shui book. He's Feng Shui.
That's what we should start doing. As we should just start taking like titles of movies and like just coming up with the plot.
Oh, that's an awesome idea. Yeah, I love it.
We did this. Oh, we usually do this when there's a movie that we don't know, which is every week. So it kind of already is a feature, really.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, we'll just start picking like three titles and just like come up with whatever we think it's going to be about.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I like that idea.
So we've got Pompeii, which is a potential volcano movie.
But I'm thinking it could be about a startup pizza company called Pompeii Pizza.
I thought it was a rockumentary about Bastille.
Possibly, yes. Nice. Maybe it's about the early days of him working as a pizza delivery boy.
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm. And then it all goes to shit when the when Mount Vesuvius explodes again.
Oh, God damn you, Vesuvius. Why do you do this
to us? But then it, like, that's how he uses, like, the lava to cook his pizzas, and it comes up with, like, some amazing, like, recipe.
Nice. Because like, it on like pizzas. On ash on yeah, a like volcano molten rock.
Yeah, I like that.
And then he becomes like the most popular pizza guy in the world and rises to success.
I'll have a late night ticket for that, please,
guys. Now I really want pizza.
That's kind of made me want pizza too. So those are your only two main wide releases. You've got a bunch of others. You've got Barefoot, Blackout, Child's Pose, Highway in Secret, and Almost Human, which I'm guessing is a documentary on Shia LaBeouf's recent activities. But yeah, 3 Days to Kill and Pompeii, those are your top two films coming out, your wide release. Do you want a quick reminder of the top five again?
I'm good, I wrote it down.
Look at you, being all prepared.
Yeah.
Hey, didn't you are.
This is how I win shit.
What do you think this is? I
write things down.
Oh, right. Is that your secret?
Because the internet. Because we're talking to each other through the internet.
That's
so
true,
it's,
yeah.
Like, it's all there.
Yeah, I know. I should stop thinking I'm the only one that has control of the internet and access to it. Alright, so since you came out on top with 4 points, Gwen,
Means I get to go first?
That does mean you get to go first, yes. Look how excited she is.
How have you ever gone first?
I never get to go first.
Once, maybe, 4 years ago, at some point, probably. Probably when Battle Los Angeles came out. Probably the last time I went first.
When we first started, you mean?
Yeah, that's probably when I went first.
I'm sorry, that was just...
And for that reason, right. I have fond memories of that film.
Oh, I'm excited. Okay, I think the number one movie... we'll start with number three. So number three is going to be Last Night with $16 million.
Okay.
And then number two will be Pompeii with... million.
How much?
And then number 17.
Okay.
And then number one will be the Lego Movie with $51 million.
All right. I can hear a slight tapping noise. Is that you on your calculator, Dan? Are you trying to work out?
No.
Are you taking your strategy one step further?
This is how I do box office or bust. I have like three computers going at the same time, like figuring out the numbers. I'm, like, seeing how many people are ill on the East Coast and won't go to the cinema.
Oh, wow. He's built, like, a complicated algorithm of sorts over there. All right, so going with all your stats and your trends and your tactics, what do you think is going to be the top three this week?
I'm going to go with the Lego Movie at number one.
Yes.
Let's say $46 million. And then number two is going to be... I just wrote About, and I can't remember the rest of them.
About Last Night.
That's the one. that's going to come in second with the $13 million. And then Pompeii is going to be third with $10 million.
Mm. All right. I'm going to go with Lego Movie at number one as well. I think that is going nowhere. And I'm going to say 41 million for next week. And I'm going to go with 3 Days to Kill at number two with, let's say, 15 million. And then at number three, I'm going to go with About Last Night with 11. Yeah. And those are my predictions, which will end me up with no points again for next week, probably. But hey, it's all about the fun. And if you want to join in and play, then do so. Head over to screeninvasion.com. Look for this episode, episode 112, and leave your predictions in the comments below with your placing and your price predictions as well. And get in board, get on board with this here game. Well, yeah, so there we go. That's Box Office or Bust. A good first week for Gwen, a point for Dan, and nothing for me. But hey, it's all to play for. We're only just beginning. I'm looking forward to how that comes in next week. But I think, unless you guys have anything you want to throw in, anything you want to talk about before we go, that's pretty much it for 112.
Yay! Good job, guys. We made it through.
We did!
We just about made it to the end.
It's all right. We're all safe. So nothing else from you two to add?
Well, no. You can always find me on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
I was gonna ask that. I just meant topic-wise.
I thought we were wrapping. Well. Well, we're wrapping now. I've already made this decision.
Oh, right. Whatever. Just I'm take it away from
power.
Me. It's like Joffrey over
power
there.
From Box Office or Bust. I got to go first, so I'm just going to
All right, Joffrey. Go with it. Ease your horses.
Hey, man. Joffrey's a powerful man.
He's a little boy. With an annoying little face.
Well, you know.
Okay, Joff.
Where
can we find you then, Joff? What have you got going on other than killing innocents and denying them bread?
Just beheading women. Just beheading dads.
And
beating up prostitutes. You can find me at Twitter / Real Vixen or at realvixen.com and freshfiction.com.
Yeah, do it. Go there, click on it, bookmark it, read it, enjoy it. That's your new tagline for Fresh Fiction, by the way.
Apparently.
Yeah. I'm just seeing the judges charging about. I'm going to be in charge of the marketing department over there, and that's the new tagline we're all going to be using. Click it, look at it, like it, favourite it, enjoy it. Do it.
Like, just get out of here.
What about you, Dan? Where can people find you, and what have you got coming up?
I can't remember my Twitter address. just around.
You find Dan in the same corner he's been the last 2 weeks.
If you put my name into things come up and it has my name next to them and there's words and stuff. I think it's Dan Sarath or Daniel Sarath. Just try them. Just try both of them. One of them will work.
Sweet.
One of them takes you to some 15-year-old kid, and one takes you to some guy with glasses. I'm the second one. and then I'm on Letterboxd as well. Yeah, I do that.
Is that right? You have a 15-year-old doppelganger on Twitter.
Well, okay. Here's the story. I got this email off Twitter like, "Thank you for signing up with Twitter," and I was like, "I'm already on Twitter. I've been on there for the last 3 years." And then I clicked on this email, and it was like, "Thank you, Dan's YouTube. For joining Twitter." And I was like, I don't have a YouTube account. So there's this kid from like, he's like 14 and he sings covers of Adele.
I think he's from
like Coventry or somewhere.
You know, we're not having the usual sign out music now for the end of this episode.
Well, I mean, I only watched it on mute, but so he might be miming to Adele, but yeah, so he's taken the name. He's either taking Daniel Sarath or Dan Sarath. I think it might be Dan Sarath. Yeah, so I kind of sometimes am tempted. Then he's used my email address, which is weird as well.
maybe he's a talented Mr. Ripley situation going on.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, I'm tempted to give the kid a shitload of abuse and just be like, "Fuck you," but like then I kind of feel like we're kindred spirits because of the name.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can find me on letterboxd.com/tsareth. I write things for Screen Invasion as well. That story had no purpose at all. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't know. We learned that there's like a 14-year-old alternative version of you trying to take over your identity and make Adele cover songs. That's pretty cool. As things
maybe.
Go. No, I don't
find you.
Find me trying to search down that child now. You can find me at twitter.com/IofMalkovich. You can also go to daysoffuturepast.com, DAZE of futurepast.com, where you can find not so many film reviews at the minute because there hasn't been much in front of my eyes, but music reviews, and I've started doing a live little music show on Wednesday nights, a little half an hour of new music each week, so that's quite fun. So go over there and look at it, like it, bookmark it, do it.
Yay!
Yeah!
That's the best new tagline. I'm so glad we have that now in our lives.
I know, right? That should be a t-shirt slogan. Hashtag, like it, look at it, do it, favorite it,
hashtag
bookmark
t-shirt.
It. Hashtag t-shirt.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I like it. Hashtag t-shirt. I'm just going to sign up with all my tweets of that now. Like a
it's
signature.
The new jam, guys.
It is. It's the new thing that the kids love. It's a new Pokemon for children. Hashtag t-shirt.
I don't think Pokemon's been a thing for a while.
Hey, there's still some kids that love the Pokemon.
I'm not just trying to burst your bubble or anything. I'm just trying to tell you guys like it is.
It is 1997 still, right? Of course it is.